Welcome to the Rick A Show. Is the greatest podcaster alive? Nah, the greatest podcaster of all time. Not the alive part. Mike's still working on the acronym for me. So this is what I'm going to go by. The greatest podcaster of all time. I'm your host, Rick H. And of course, with me is my man, Kaba, behind the mic.
Yes, sir.
So welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to talk about Cat Williams going off. Draymond Green retires. Are the Knicks better? Who won that trade? Wander Franco. I took the risk and I loved it. We'll talk about that statement and that whole situation. Updates on the Yankees and Mets. And then I got a fun little game to play with Kaba after that. But first, let's talk about this Cat Williams episode that dropped. Last I checked, it was at 30 million views.
Shout out Shannon Sharp. Shout out the Shay Shay Club.
The Shay Shay Club. 30 million views. I think it did 10 million the first day.
Yeah. Now. That's got to be, I think they said that was top three.
Really?
Yeah, I think Rogue, or maybe it was number two. Rogan had somebody, Lazar, the guy who talked about the UFOs and all the alien stuff.
He's there. Like the doctor or the scientist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? He was number one.
How many? 10 million is a lot, bro. Like,
yeah, I wasn't sure what the number was with him, but that other one is already at 38 million 6 days in.
38 million. And in that episode, first of all, watch it in its entirety. Is super funny, entertaining. Whatever your opinion may be, this is all entertainment. Throw that shit out the window. It just got me thinking, like, who in sports has done that before? Because this interview, it transcended more than just comedy. It went into entertainment, went into everything. He had Ludacris respond to him.
Yeah, he kicked a little freestyle.
I thought that was crazy.
I thought it was whack.
Luda's freestyle was whack?
Yeah, the freestyle was corny. Luda's an actor now. He's a little washed.
He's washed.
Yeah, if that's the best he's got, yeah. It was. You know.
I mean, I wouldn't have did a freestyle to a comedian. That's the first thing. The second thing, I don't think Luda's washed. But it was, to me, I found it entertaining and interesting. Before we move on, what was your opinion of, did you watch the whole?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. It took me a couple tries to get through it and digest the whole thing. Because at first I thought he was going on a whole bunch of just rants. But then I realized, all right, because I watched it, I think, 3 days after it came out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, these people had time to respond. And they weren't responding with the same energy that Kat was accusing with.
Well, all right, so if you haven't seen it, before Kat did the Shay Shay Club, a lot of comics went on to it.
Smiley
and Cedric were the two big ones. I don't know if Harvey's done it, Steve Harvey.
I don't believe so.
But there's obviously a long history with them. And if you watch Kings of Comedy, there is a clip of Bernie Mac saying, if you're an upcoming comedian, which in the comedic scene, this is something you always got to remember, you never try out new material in front of other comics. Mm. So, Bernie's long gone, RIP, one of the funniest to me.
Legend.
But he made that statement while he was touring with them. And Bernie was a closer in the stand-up special.
Yeah.
But turns out a lot of the stuff has come out to be true, regardless of what your opinion is on Cat Williams. It turns out Steve Harvey did steal a lot of jokes from Mark Curry. It turns out Sed did steal the closer,
yeah.
The thing with comics, man, the closer is hard. Like, your closing joke is the hardest thing to develop, right? It takes about almost a year to come up with a good closing joke. Because that's something you got to develop, try it out, tweak it. You even got to, like, your mentors, because in comedy you have to have mentors. That's why he mentions Mark Curry. He's like, Mark Curry helped me punch up that joke. And Kat did that on Comic View years before the Kings of Comedy. So I found that very interesting. some people have replied Cedric the Entertainer was on the red carpet for some award show, and he said, oh, there's bloggers nowadays. They just get on the internet and say stuff, and then people automatically believe it. But Cat came with his receipts.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. It's going to seem like he came firing at everybody, but yeah, if you watch the whole interview.
When I watched the whole thing, the first thing I thought is, okay, all the big takes that I got from it, they all had to have somebody or something that can come forward and back him up.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, the Friday stuff. Ice Cube came forward and was
Cube
like...
Cube said 80% just, was true. So yeah, the rape scene was not, but...
Yeah, he was like, oh, everything else is pretty legit.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that gave him more legitimacy to me.
And Ricky Smiley kind of backtracked on his own radio show, which if I was a comic, I wouldn't do a freestyle. And I had a the pod. Like, if Cat said something about me, I would address it in my own show. Yeah. A, I'm going to get the views. And B, I get to control the narrative. Ricky Smiley walked it back a little bit to what he was saying. Because in Ricky Smiley's original story, the role was his. And they had offered it to him.
Yeah, they had reversed roles, basically, right? Yeah. Like he was the Santa. Cat was the Santa, and he was the pimp.
And that all of a sudden Hollywood was like, nah, let's just
switch this up. And Cat was like, how is that even possible? I wrote the role. I literally designed the character and everything. Yeah. He was like, I made them go get the car. I made them go get, you know, I got my hair like that. I did, you know.
I turned them from a crackhead to a pimp in the movie. So, but shout out to Cat, man.
Great interview. Shout out Shannon Sharp.
Shannon, you know, this is the thing. So the whole time, I'm a podcaster. I was watching Shannon. But at that point, like, you don't, there's no way. That's why he took a shot. And he's like, okay, like, I guess because Cat came firing. There's no way you continue, like, an episode the way
you tried. He gave it effort. He kept going back to his cards.
Yeah, but I felt like when you're in that point, it's kind of hard because Shannon has done this before. But when you're at that point, you got to start thinking, what's the viewer thinking that they're going to want to ask? Because you're freestyling at that point.
Yeah.
And you want to try to put the heat on Cat. And he did with one question where I was like, okay, Shannon's doing a lot better than what I thought.
With the stray with Face On?
The Face On question. And then there was something else like, why would he say that? Have you gone on tour with them previously?
Oh, yeah.
So I give it to Shannon Sharp. He held his own.
Yeah. He adapted. I don't think nobody could prepare for that much.
When your whole episode is obliterated after the intro.
Cat went up there to address some stuff and get some stuff off his chest, and that's exactly what he did.
And then he said he's taping a special in Philly. He did a video. He said, Kevin, I'm taping my special in Philly. I'm bringing $5 million with me. We could do a face off and rapping, which again, I get it, but ain't no way Kevin Hart is gonna rap against you.
Yeah,
we could do a comedy, we could do basketball, he's mentioned something else, and I'm bringing my $5 million in cash. So I'm giving Cat Williams more props than what people think, and the fact that the man was out there to protect his name. And he didn't come in firing. And that's what the internet immediately was like, yo, well, he's coming at everybody. He just want to be relevant. And you can't use that narrative that he wants to be relevant if the comedians he's going after were the ones that first made the comments.
Yeah.
So.
He responded, and I bet you everybody wishes they could backtrack whatever they said now.
A lot of comics, because they're going into the crates.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose now. He said he don't stop either.
Because they even pulled out some Mark Curry jokes. The internet is the truth serum, bro.
They'll find it.
They're going to find it. Old clips of Mark Curry that you could tell the video is grainy. It looks like some VHS period. And then they compare it with a lot of Steve Harvey stuff. And it did make a lot of sense to me because I remember when Mark Curry was shooting a pilot for a show that aired on television where he was the principal.
Okay.
Like, it was a different show besides Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah, but the same premise.
And then it got flipped, and it was Steve Harvey, and that's where it had the Dominican actor that ended up dying. I'm trying to remember that show. Was it called The Steve Harvey Show?
Was that it? He did have the show called Steve Harvey Show. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, where he's the principal and he has Romeo Santana in the show. And that's the show that Kat, I think, is alluding to.
He had Cedric on that one.
Of course, because that's his boy.
Yeah, Merlin Santana.
Yeah, yeah. Merlin, that's his name.
Yeah.
So, made a lot of sense. The internet's buzzing. It when things like this happen, I like it because the internet goes and gets the receipts, and it's very entertaining for me. So, Cat's going to be talked about for the next couple weeks. Is there a sports figure that you think could do that? Because, like, people thought Cat Williams was crazy.
Do what? Like, call everybody out on their bullshit?
Yeah. Or is it, do we have someone that's equivalent to that right now?
I mean, it would have to be like, to me, it would have to be like a scenario. I liked the scenario that Cat gave Shannon, where he told him, you in here doing all this work in the gym, would you let the guy with steroids come mm-hmm. in and, you know, think that he could bang with y'all? Mm-hmm. And Shannon was like, hell no. So I was like, maybe that's the sport equivalent. But I can't think of one person.
He mentioned the roids a couple times.
Yeah.
He mentioned up like lining up, like, okay, so far lining up like with against Kevin Hart, allegedly. Like if they're doing football.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is like football. You think you might have the notoriety, but let's line up and let's see.
Yeah. Because
you can't measure anybody's heart.
Yeah, he's right. He broke it down to a science where he was telling them about if you go for 6 minutes and I go for 6 minutes, I know I'm funnier because I got 12 laughs and you only got four.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's a good way to look at it too, like to measure statistics in a comedy special or in a standoff.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see it.
But to go back to your question, maybe Jordan? You mean in sports period or just in their sport?
Imagine if LeBron and Mike...
Nah.
Like
LeBron can't, yeah, he's still playing.
Yeah, but he's still playing, but like imagine if Jordan was like, okay, you know, LeBron's playing. You know why I've settled with that argument that they're in two different periods, two different the league is different now than it was then.
Why?
And like when Mike came out of college, him and Bron was like anointed.
Yeah.
Mike wasn't. So for LeBron to do everything he's done, I think people need to give him more credit than what they have. To me, is Mike the greatest of all time? And we've had this argument countless times.
Of course. It's the age-old debate. It's never going to end.
I'm starting to feel like it shouldn't even be debated. Like, they both great. It's just great. In different time periods.
Yeah. In basketball, though, you have to have somebody. In football, it's solidified right now, Tom Brady. In baseball, you could go anywhere.
We could have this argument about Brady being the GOAT, too. Like,
you can't.
Cabo, there's certain rings.
You could have it for debate's sake,
mm-hmm.
but if you do a majority of the country, that's going to be Brady.
Yeah, because he played on the most popular team at the time, and he's got all those championships.
Whatever the case might be, it'll still be Brady by a landslide. So it's not a debate. You know, it's not like a real debate. People don't even talk about it no more. Now it's, can you catch him?
I mean, I don't think anybody will.
Neither do I. I don't think it's realistic.
Well, if he was at 5 Super Bowls.
The amount of appearances it takes to even get to there is.
I mean, Brady got 7 rings and he went to 10 Super Bowls.
70% is not bad. It's not Jordan.
Bro, but just think about that. He went to 10 Super Bowls.
And his career was what, 20 years long?
You know how hard it is to go to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, he did it for half of the seasons in his career.
Like, the next person with multiple Super Bowls was a Bradshaw, and he only had four. How many Montana had?
Montana had five.
Montana had five?
Yeah.
And Brady has two more. Three more than Bradshaw and two more. That's wild.
That's what I'm saying. It's not really a debate. If you're going by rings, and in football, it's got to be rings. It's the hardest one to win a ring. Every game is like sudden death.
Yeah, but you never know. And that makes the argument, man, it makes the argument that much more for Brady, because you never know on a Sunday.
Yeah, any given Sunday.
All right, so I guess for me, if you could relate like a Cat Williams situation. Oh, this is what I also wanted to talk about. Gary Sheffield did something very similar to Cat Williams. Gary Sheffield set Barry Bonds and A-Rod, blocked them of a bunch of MVPs. He also said the Yankees would have never lost to the Boston Red Sox if it wasn't for Joe Torre. Did you see this interview?
Yep.
He got 71% of the votes. He's not going to go to the Hall. You need 75%. Is he Hall of Famer in your eyes?
Phenomenal player. He's one of those players that I think is as closest to the Hall of Fame line as you can get. If he makes it in, I wouldn't be mad. Is he a first ballot? No. Okay. And if he doesn't make it, I'm not mad at it either. I'm okay with that too.
I don't think he's first ballot. I think he should be in the Hall, not immediately.
Yeah.
And he did have the cream thing where he was suspected of using some cream when he was on roids or whatever.
I don't remember that.
Let's look that up. But this is my issue with the Hall not putting A-Rod in. Like, everybody, and there's people that's in the Hall right now that had a steroid suspicion or did roids.
Balco steroid cream.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that came up when he was a Yankee.
Yeah, he said unknowingly, though.
So, that's that key
word. That's everybody's excuse.
Or
I didn't know.
I was hurt. I felt the pressure on my contract. This is Andy Pettit, which one of my favorite left-handed pitchers of all time. I felt the pressure of my contract to deliver, and I took HGH to recover as soon as possible. Nobody remembers that.
That's a good one, though.
Nobody remembers that.
That's a good one. I remember
it. And when he did it, the Yankee fans was like, man, he's just trying to give us his best. He's trying to be there for us. So they gave him a pass. A-Rod was the first one
he came back and did it without the roids.
Who?
Pettit.
So did Alex.
Yeah, but the thing with Alex was we don't know how long of his career he was on it.
But the fact
I think
that
that's the same thing with Barry.
Yeah, but Barry was never caught on steroids. It's still to this day suspicion. Eye test, he looks much different, but Barry was still the GOAT before the roids.
Listen, I think it's a great era in baseball. I think they shouldn't penalize nobody no more. And just, let the kids have fun.
So, speaking of outspoken sports figures, my last thing on Sheffield, he did a couple things wrong. First of all, he threw Joe Torre under the bus.
Yeah, for the 2004?
2000, whatever, with the collapse. I think it was 2003. Or 2004.
Yeah.
Because 2003 was the Marlins.
We're up 3-0 and lost 4 straight.
Yeah. He said the offense was doing their jobs. We would go back. And he's right. A-Rod was murdering Boston.
The first three
games. And then he says Mo's not available. That Joe Torre. Just because Joe says Mo's not available don't mean Mo's not going to be ready if a situation pulled. Like, not everybody is Mo's human. And it happened the same night, and then they came back to the stadium, and the rest was history. But I don't think you blame that on just because Joe said, oh, Mo's not coming in.
I think he also gave some of the blame to his bullpen choices. You know, because ultimately it was the bullpen that was blowing those games.
Yeah.
So I guess he was also trying to say, you know, some of those pitchers shouldn't have been used in those situations, like the way they were used. And I guess Mo is the big name that he attached to it, which, I mean, yeah and no. It is what it is. You go down as a team. If you want to pinpoint, yeah, the bullpen somehow gave up runs.
This was 20 years ago, you know? And this man is still talking like this was like 2 weeks ago. That's my whole issue.
Yeah, it's giving me like Paul Pierce vibes.
Yeah, like.
Like, bro, give it up. All right. You were a great player.
You lost, bro.
You're only going to run your mouth and piss off the wrong people and probably not make the Hall of Fame ballot.
He's not going to get called for, you know, Old Timers Day anytime soon.
Yeah, for sure not. Yeah.
So Draymond Green, man, how you feel about Draymond, first of all?
As a what?
As a player, like a piece in the Warriors.
I think Draymond.
His antics.
Draymond's been celebrated as the enforcer now. And I think that's a good role for him. You can be the enforcer. I think the 10-10-10. Or 10-8-8, whatever his peak was, mm-hmm. that he was getting all-star games somehow with that, is, yeah, beyond me. His role was always overplayed, mm-hmm. I think. His defense was there, but age and injuries caught up. I think his frustration of them losing catches up because he's been a winner most of his career. You know, whether it's been him or not, he's been a part of those teams.
He has, but...
So it's like whenever they're losing or getting their ass whipped, he's the first one to start kicking and punching, literally, the other players.
And they say Cleveland won their chip because of him. Not because of him getting suspended.
Oh, yeah, with the LeBron dick kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're a repeat offender, like, what else do you want? How many times are they going to let you get away with it?
Like, Rasheed Wallace used to be like that back in the day. He used to get a lot of texts, right?
Yeah, but he was like a really, really physical. It wasn't just that. Like, he would be bumping you and shoulder charging you. And Draymond is just using his limbs. His punches and kicks.
Purposely, too. Like,
yeah, yeah. And it's obvious to everybody.
The last one, he just spun back and threw a spin.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's obvious to everybody. Like, the camera's literally looking at you because you just blew a layup or whatever. Mm. And so the camera's looking at you running back on defense and you do something.
How do you think it'd be interesting to be in that locker room? Because I think me being Steph Curry and getting the championships that I got, right? I think that would have worn me, like, thin quickly. Like, I think Curry's been very patient with him because it's always been Curry's team. Or yeah. Do you think Steph is just like, oh, that's just Draymond. That's how Draymond.
Yeah, I think he's at that point. I think he's like, yeah, it's just Draymond. I think he don't want to, you know, ruffle any feathers. I think he knows that the solution is coming soon.
I think that this is... Draymond said he was going to retire because the league suspended him indefinitely, and then supposedly Adam Silver talked him out of it, that he met with Steve Kerr, and that Steve Kerr and him had a conversation, that Kerr was crying, and they hugged each other. Whatever. I think he really has run the last nerve of the Warriors, and I think they're going to try to – they need to move on. It's time.
Yeah.
Like, you hold on to Steph and you try to rebuild around Steph. And yeah. Now the Jordan Poole trade looks even worse.
Not really.
Because Jordan Poole was the one that didn't get along with Draymond. And the organization decided.
Yeah, but if you look at Jordan Poole over there, he's not making no great case
for himself.
He's not,
but he was in a situation. So we're going to talk about the Knicks trade. But I feel like Poole was in a situation where he was already comfortable, and he was giving them what they wanted and what they needed.
Well, the spotlight wasn't on him, so he was an overachiever.
Yes, and I think that that's his role.
100%. Phenomenal six man.
Yeah, like there's a bunch of guys in the NBA that are like that. Like,
but to lead the team, no way. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it was that they lost the trade. I think it was pick one of your poisons, mm-hmm. the aging, grumpy Draymond.
That's one championship for you.
Exactly. Or the pain in the ass kid who, you know, could be even a bigger problem if he gets a little bit better.
I don't know, man. I think this, to me, there hasn't, in the last 20 years, there hasn't been a guy like Draymond Green where I don't think the talent is worth the headache. Because that's usually the Bulls, they when they had Rodman with that three-peat, the talent was worth the headaches. Even though Draymond's got the championships, it's just too much. He's choke-holding some dude at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Spinning back fists, kicking LeBron in the nuts. He stepped on some dude's hand. It's just – and then he – I didn't like the one time he was like, oh, it's because, you know, they're coming after me. They're antagonizing me.
Like they're not doing that to every other player.
Yeah.
Like he gets singled out. If that's the case, you shouldn't be on the floor.
So like I've been at the point where I was like, I don't know if this man should be in the league.
Well, even before that, I thought his stat line, he shouldn't have been getting the amount of minutes he was getting on that team. But that's just their loyalty to him, and it's been a detriment to the team because he's not playing up to par, and he hasn't been for like 4 years now, 5 years.
And this year, I think they're 11th right now in the West. It's Phoenix, L.A., and Golden State. I think it's 9, 10, 11. And those are the teams with Curry, LeBron, and Durant. So it goes to show that the NBA is moving towards, besides having like multiple stars together.
It's actually Phoenix, Lakers, Utah, and then the Warriors.
And the Warriors.
The 12th.
So even worse. I think the NBA is going to where it's no longer how many stars I could get. It's more of, all right, I'll get my two stars, but I need a solid team with them.
Yes.
And I'm going to segue that because last year's Miami team is proof of that. The Knicks last year is proof of that because I'm going to talk about the Knicks in a little bit. And if you look at the other teams, with the exception of Boston, who has multiple stars on their team, that seems to be the formula that is going to. And I think that's better for the NBA because I'd rather see multiple great teams than this big three. Like only five teams having a big three and everybody's trash.
Yeah, I'm cool with the dynamic duo, like the
yeah.
That I'm cool with that.
Cuz it's always, even in the 90s, that's what it was. It was Kevin Johnson, Charles Barkley, it was Scotty and Mike.
Yeah, the Batman Robin kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that combination.
Three is too big. It's only five players on the court. So if three of them are already, I'm already done with this era of basketball, you know?
Like the Heat, right? It was Bosh, LeBron, and Wade. One of the three had to take sacrifices.
And what?
In the sense that they had to, if you were to put any of those three guys in any other teams, you know, Bosh may be like a secondary star, but they were bigger than what the role that they had to take on in Miami.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
They had to sacrifice minutes, they had to sacrifice points,
yeah,
and even money. They made it work money-wise. So I when it happened, I'm a Knicks fan, I was like, damn, fuck Miami. But in hindsight, what they were able to do as a collective, it was cool for a little bit. But then, like, the whole NBA did that, and it ruined basketball for me.
Well, Boston already had won a chip and been to two of them the two previous years.
With their big three. Yeah,
with their
yeah,
big before. Three.
But they that was a different ones, story.
They were the first ones to assemble in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just the way they try to categorize it against LeBron. Mm-hmm. But it was still the second big three.
There was still yeah, but a big three. I don't see Boston's
the
big
Spurs
three.
Spurs' big three was still crazy.
As I Tony think Parker's Miami's big Ginobili. Three was bigger than Boston's big three, in my opinion.
Well, you have to. You're not going to make a big three and then not be better than theirs.
Because to me, the star of that Boston, in
the one that what big three came after them?
KG was the main player.
But I'm saying whoever came, the big three that came after LeBron, with KD joining the Warriors, would you say?
KG joining the Warriors?
KD.
K, KD, yeah, that was
you know, that was bigger than the LeBron Miami one.
I don't think so, because I don't I've never seen Klay Thompson as a huge star.
What? They had just won 73 games.
Phenomenal shooter, but not a star.
I mean,
not a superstar.
Okay, but do you think,
like, is Klay better than Chris Bosh?
Yes, I was just gonna ask you that. Yes.
Is he better than Wayne?
Klay, I think Klay, and this is not to shit on Chris Bosh.
We're not shitting.
He contributed a lot to the chips.
Neither Klay Thompson,
yeah,
by the way.
But I think Klay has contributed a lot more important defensive plays and big-time shots in the playoffs that led to chips than Bosh did.
100%.
So, yeah, so I would take him over Bosh. And if you're going to give the big three to them, then you would have to give it to the Warriors.
I think Miami's big three. The reason why it was better is because you had a guard, a forward, and the center.
There you got two guards that are shot creators.
And a forward.
And then a forward who's a shot creator.
Who's like a unicorn, because to me, KD's the real unicorn.
And at that point, they were still saying that Green was still the most important piece.
I don't.
They said that he's the manager of all their personalities, that he's the only reason why this all works.
I think there was just, I've never been like a big Draymond guy. I like guys like that, that do more than one thing, like a Josh Hart.
I don't know what's the difference between Draymond and Brooks. Is it Brooks?
Dylan Brooks, you talking about the guy that was talking about LeBron?
Yeah. I don't see the difference in them.
I mean, there's a big difference quality-wise as far
now,
as...
Now. Yeah. But I'm saying when they were giving Draymond all-star game appearances, he was, to me, the same thing Dylan Brooks is now. I'm going to play. I'm going to get like 10, 5, and 7. And, you know, I'm a, you know, I know Draymond went and got a couple triple-doubles.
They fill the stat sheet up.
Yeah, but it's like... You weren't the main difference maker, but you would talk the most shit. So you would think that you were the number one player on that team. And it would irk the other players and stuff, and you would get into stupid stuff. And I think he's that same caliber of player. But I don't get why he gets a pass and Brooks don't.
You know why Brooks don't get a pass? Because he, well, Draymond hit LeBron. And I guess he poked the bear with LeBron.
It's because he lost. That's why. Because he lost to LeBron. Brooks did that and then lost.
Yeah, but so did Draymond. But I think the reason was...
That's why LeBron has it over Draymond. Because he went on to beat Draymond. If Draymond would have shut LeBron up and won that year, it might have been different.
The reason why there's a difference between Draymond and Brooks is because Brooks kind of feels like he's just trying to be a Draymond. As to Draymond is Draymond. You understand? Like,
yeah.
Like, he
okay,
comes
so
off.
So comes off less authentic?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair.
Like, that's why, I don't know. Like, there's something about Dylan Brooks that makes me go like, ugh.
It's cringy.
Yes!
Yeah. I thought the same thing of Draymond, but now it's just built into Draymond's persona. Like, okay,
yeah, but
I
think Draymond, like, you need a guy like Draymond, but not to act like Draymond. You understand? Like, you need a hustle guy like that.
Yeah.
But not a controlled person. Not that someone that's going to, like, lose their cool in the middle of a finals and freaking
get
suspended.
I think Draymond's stuck in between roles right now where he should be coming off the bench. And he kind of should be. Okay, like you kind of solidify yourself now if this is what you want to do.
Yeah.
Be the Udonis Haslam.
You know, I mean,
you would have to take a step back, but it's going to help the team because you being out there on the field, on the court, is not helping anybody but the opposite team.
Yeah.
You know, you're not that great on defense. You're a step slower on defense, and it's just, you know, it's hurting your team.
And that chemistry, like they seem. For the last 2 years, to me, last 2-3 years, the Warriors seem like out of it to me.
Yeah, a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries took Klay basically out. I don't think we're ever going to see Klay be Klay again. Draymond, you know, him, he's just declining, I guess, age. Mm-hmm. And then all the pieces around him have just been mixed matching pieces and plug and play. And it hasn't been nobody solid around them besides Andrew Wiggins. And he... it's crazy. He gives you like 19 to 21 points a game, but they don't really do anything for the game. Like, he just quietly drops those in.
Yeah.
Just, they don't really affect the game.
And then I don't see that fire no more from Steph.
Nah.
Like, he don't – I remember every night Steph gave you something. Like, did you see what Steph did this day or that day or how yeah. many –
Even when they were losing, it would be a close game.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like now it's just double digits or 9 points or, you know, there's only so much he could do when now there's literally no more distractions. Like, who is he giving the ball to? You know, Klay used to be in the corner mm-hmm. going around picks and
he's not. It's
none of that is working anymore. Yeah. That stuff is just, it's done for. I think you just got to. You know, Klay, I think, can still shoot threes whenever you need him to come off the bench. I think you got to cut ties with Draymond. And I think you got to sign some guys and bring them in to help build a new team around Curry.
And this Chris Paul move.
Oh, yeah.
That, first of all, that didn't make no sense when they did it.
Yeah.
And now Chris is out for the season. Like, Chris and Steph never saw eye to eye. They always saw each other. Oh, I'm playing Paul today. I'm going to get at him.
I think what they thought was Klay is now falling off, but Curry could still run around all those screens, let him do the running around and come off the screens and pick and pop and shoot.
Chris facilitate.
But it just didn't work because Chris is not a threat to shoot anymore.
No.
So it's like, okay, you're kind of like Rondo almost. Like, okay, you dribble. I don't let you get in the paint. You can't lay up the ball on me. I'll take my chances now.
I mean, I give Chris Paul his credit. Like, he did turn a couple franchises around completely.
No, his passing is still phenomenal. Facilitator is still great IQ and everything.
I don't think he'll ever win it. Well, he's not going to win a championship, but.
Nah. He'll be with the Melo, Charles Barkley, the greats that just couldn't do it.
You mentioned his name, man. That shit hurts me every time. Melo, no championship.
Yeah, the only thing is I feel like Melo could be like, okay, LeBron was in my way.
Well, like Barkley, you know.
Says Jordan.
Jordan was in my way.
But I don't think this guy has somebody. Like, Chris Paul doesn't have somebody that he can say.
Well, LeBron was in Chris's way a lot. And
Chris early in his career couldn't do it with the Hornets. Nobody was really
interested. And he had a great combination with Chandler when that was going.
Yep.
And then Chris could also say.
And he went to the Clippers.
The Lakers traded for him. The Lakers vetoed that trade and he ended up with the Clippers.
Denied it, yeah. He ends up with the Clippers. They are complete underachievers for how long?
That was a bad big three, though.
They
had Jordan.
They had a lot. They had Blake. Him, DeAndre, they had Jamal Crawford at one point. Like, they had a surplus of guys coming in and out every year that were just thinking, okay, I might be the missing piece to come in and just, you know, click and win a championship. And it just never happened for them.
That team is a mystery for me. The problem, though, that I saw was there wasn't a fit where on every big three, there's two guys that could create their own shot. Right.
Yeah, DeAndre wasn't really an offensive.
And neither was Blake was more of rebound, dunk, lob.
Both of them, yeah.
So if they had like a starting player that could create their own shot. Because
yeah,
Chris
I mean,
is not a – so that's what might have went wrong with that whole team.
Well, Chris's inability to, you know, really be a threat from three or long two,
mm-hmm.
you know, mid-range and stuff people would respect.
Yeah.
But to really be a threat from out there, it hindered him. That's why he was such a good fit over there in Phoenix because that's all they had was shooters around him.
Booker.
And then you just had DeAndre in the paint, Ayton.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about my team real quick. So, team. I think the Knicks are a team. There is a piece that's still missing. So, it hurt me to see RJ and IQ leave.
Which one hurt more?
I'm going to say For now, IQ, long run, RJ.
Okay.
And this is my train of thought with them too. So IQ gave us the punch we needed off the bench. And he's that guy where, okay, he's a six man, but now I think he's progressing into a role where he's going to be the starting point guard on a team, which is what he is in Toronto right now.
Yes.
RJ, I felt like us having Randle, we never got to let him flourish. Because although it's a short stint with Toronto, you're seeing the rest of his game.
Yeah. So it's almost like addition by subtraction.
Yes. And the fact that, first of all, I think, I don't know who won that trade at this point right now, but the fact that Toronto got them both, RJ for longer than IQ, and if they don't re-sign IQ, that's
yeah, right. As of right now, I give them the upper hand.
Because they upgraded that roster.
Just because you got two starters for one. That's mm-hmm. clearly, that's the only thing I could give them out of it right now.
And you're
now.
Matching them up with Siakam and Barnes.
Yeah.
Which now gives you something that's nice and growing there. And if you flip Siakam, who's 31 now, and you get some similar pieces back, Toronto will be back on the road to being a relevant team.
Yeah.
And I hated this trade when it got first announced. I thought the Knicks gave up too much. But they were not going to re-sign IQ. You were not going to have $20 million on a point guard that's sitting on the bench.
Yep.
And the Knicks just felt RJ is not that third star, which I think they were wrong on that. And in the future, when RJ's career is over, he's going to put up some crazy numbers for Toronto, and he's going to be the guy for Toronto. Because,
yeah,
he, believe it or not, coming out that draft, he's the guy that I actually wanted. And he's the guy that's actually been on the floor. And if you look at RJ's numbers for the games that he's played, his name only goes with Durant, Jordan, LeBron.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Because his stats are, there's only been certain players to get X amount of points, X amount of rebounds, X amount of assists.
At a certain age.
At that certain age. And he's in that top five conversation of those players. And when you look at the other names, you're like, oh, okay. All right. I just felt like we got too impatient with him. Whereas we have Randle on the team. They didn't have a way to get rid of Randle. And then they're like, all right, we're just going to ride with Randle. And they made a swap. Now, I hated the trade. And in four games, I'm going to tell you I'm starting to come around to the trade. Addition by subtraction, right?
Yeah.
It gives more shots for Randle and Brunson. It's Brunson's team. But it gives them more minutes, more shots, more opportunities. Now Brunson has a spot-up shooter who plays excellent defense. So the defense improved exponentially. Yeah. I think you could tell we've led 10 points or more in most of the games that we played with OG.
Yeah, he carries his young, fresh legs.
Yeah.
He's got energy for days. He takes a lot of the bulk on the wing position on defense away from Randle. And now Randle's stepping into the role of you and Brunson, go do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Point guard, big man, let's see what you got. Randle's showing off now. And it's looking like if this is the way that they're going to move forward, then there's some success there.
And it looks like RJ not being in the lineup, Randle's like, all right. I don't have to worry about playing shots with somebody.
Yeah, more easy touches for me.
Yeah.
Get to work, see what I got to do.
I don't have to be too stressed on the defensive end because OG. And OG's guarding everybody's best player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
the
like,
wing forward, if you got a big two or the wing forward, he's there.
And I think that one of the mistakes we made with RJ was playing him at the small forward, not the two spot. So that was a huge mistake. Toronto's not doing that. And OG, he just fits better with this lineup.
Yeah, I agree.
And I didn't even think it. I honestly, in my opinion, didn't think that this. Because I was like, ah, man, we're losing on scoring.
Yeah.
You're losing the possible sixth man of the year twice, 200 years in a row, and your third scoring option.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need the ball. He could cut. He's great percentage from three-pointer. Plays terrific defense. And he steals the ball a lot more. So it's just like, I don't know what happened, but they look completely different. And it's just one player that they added.
Well, sometimes, you know, that's when a starter, whatever you want to call him, an all-star, when somebody like that is, you know, just traded in the middle of the season, I think it gives, like, it could either give a shock to the locker room or, you know, like send a whole new energy with the new guy coming in.
Yeah.
I think everybody is excited for their role. It's more touches for everybody. It's not like OG came in and was like, oh, I'm taking all the touches that RJ had.
Yeah.
You know, Brunson gets more touches because quickly
Deuce,
he's gone.
Deuce McBride. Deuce got an extension immediately after the trade. Like, all right, Deuce.
Because they look at him as he could be whatever the quickly was doing.
Off the bench. Yep. And then Grimes, he's going to get. Offensively, he'll give you something, but he's exciting, though. He's a defensive stopper.
The crowd loves him. You know, he's the guy who's yelling at the crowd and getting all pumped up and shit.
So, like, the Knicks, so it was reported already, the Knicks don't feel Spider's the guy. They don't feel like they need to give up to get Spider. But with that being said, the Knicks in the offseason are going to have the money and assets to acquire another player, another piece. And it's between Spider, Cat, LaVine was thrown in there. Who's the other guy? It's like six guys that they named.
Okay.
And I honestly don't know exactly what direction to go to right now, because I like the kind of chemistry that they already have.
Yeah, but we're going to have to see what they have come playoff time. If that's a good fit in playoffs and they're going to make a deep push with that, I think then you decide, all right, maybe we do stay with Randall. You know, but then where do you improve? I think signing Cat helps.
Yeah.
No matter what. I don't think LaVine is the option. I don't think he's a good fit.
I don't think he's going anywhere. Because Bulls aren't playing him and his trade value is in the toilet. So.
Yeah. And I think if he does get traded, I think whoever he goes, they'll wind up keeping him.
I'm trying to quickly find.
Who was the other one you said? Spider. So Spider.
Spider, Cat.
Spider
LaVine,
to me is they want him.
Murray.
Jamal?
The kid from Atlanta.
Oh, DeJounte.
DeJounte Murray. And somebody reported that the Knicks should actually get.
You don't need DeJounte.
The Knicks should actually get Trae Young.
I saw that, yeah. That'll be cool for a story.
Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas said, because I do see Trey succeeding here in New York.
Yeah, I think that'll be a cool story, but I don't think that's a good fit. You already have your primary ball handler and scorer.
But Trey doesn't need the ball in his hands.
Yeah, we say that about everybody.
He could create his shot. He could spot up.
He still needs the ball in his hand to do something or play drawn where he's gonna go around and do something. Then it's like, okay, is Brunson now gonna be, you know, your finesse passer and all of that? You're gonna switch up everybody's roles to accommodate to him.
No, I think the offense still needs to run through Jalen.
I think Cat. Yeah, so do I. I think Cat comes in. He takes even more defense off of Randall.
Yeah, but Cat's good at the four, not the five. And if you bring Cat in, you can't have Randall.
Why?
Because they're both Cat flourishes at the four. And he stretches the floor because it's 3-point percentage.
I don't think there's only like three fives that you have to actually worry about in the league.
That's a good point. It's true.
You know, unless you're going against Jokic, Embiid, or who else?
Jokic, Embiid. I mean, there's Chet from OKC. I like OKC. I like Chet. I like that young nucleus they got.
But he's not like a big center that you have to prepare for, you know, like Cat can hold that guy. He's basically a power forward. He's just huge. He's nimble. He's moving.
So you think Cat's the best fit for this team?
Out of that group of free agents that's there, I think Spider is the best fit. But
really?
Yeah, I think
we would have a small backcourt then, like a really small backcourt.
Yeah, but both of them are just, I think that would be a crazy dynamic.
I like Spider because he's a dog.
And I think that whole, oh, you know, he doesn't fit us. So I think that's just them trying to just
lower the value.
Yeah, I think that's all that is. Put a little suppression on it for the season while we're playing. Let this team do what they could do, see what happens. 100% they're going to pursue him harder than everybody else.
I just don't want to. Like, I'm nervous because we're at a time where we got the assets. The team is perfect. It just needs that one piece. But identifying that one piece, and because of this trade, I'm going to give Leon Rose in the front office the benefit of the doubt that they kind of know exactly what they want. Because the first thing was when they signed Brunson. Everybody was like, you're giving this guy too much money. He's not a star. It was one playoff series. Like, everybody was talking. And now Brunson's probably the most underpaid player in the league.
Yeah.
$20 million a season.
I mean, I can't go against that. Some part of me wants to say it could just be lightning in a bottle and a couple overachievers on the team.
And
I think you guys were using Randall wrong the entire time, and I think now him coming into a solidified role for himself that he's
really
comfortable in.
I think Randall's going to flourish more?
For the rest of this season in that role, yeah. As long as he's in this role right here, where it's just them two that are worried about on offense and everything, we'll see what we get from the rest of the guys. Yeah. But, yo, me and Brunson every night are going to go out and know that we got to get 25 each. I think they like that role.
And you know who I think that piece might be for us, and he's not available? I would like to see Bridges on the Knicks.
Nah, which one?
Brooklyn. Mikal Bridges.
We're not letting him go.
I know y'all not.
He's not going nowhere. We got to find out how to get his brother.
I know y'all not, and I think that I like him as a player, and I think he would fit. And the fact that he's a Nova Cat and those guys, DiVincenzo has been awesome. And he's going to get more shots now.
Yeah.
Because RJ's looks are going to go to him.
Yeah, that was a really good sign in the offseason.
Again, people were like, why? This is the move, the big move you guys did. Blah, blah, blah. And now everybody, they like him. And then this trade. So I'm going to take the wait and see approach with the front office. I think so far they've done a good job putting this team together. And I think Tibbs has to make a small adjustment to the way he coaches and he runs the lineup up and maybe opening up his rotation a little bit more. But
I think he'll figure it out. He got a lot more options now to play with on defense, the little schemes that he can run and stuff. So I know he's in the lab having fun.
And OG is a prototypical player
for him.
So trade made a lot of sense. Like I said, it's more even than what I thought because of what the Knicks were getting and what it would create for them. And Toronto got two beautiful pieces that they could build on, but we'll see who won that trade.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's a pretty even trade. I think both teams come out as winners. Mm. If I had to pick one, the only reason I'll say Toronto is they got two starters. That's it.
So I want to talk to you about this Juan DeFranco thing. 22-year-old, he's a stud baseball player. Tampa knew what they had, and he was one of these first guys where I think baseball is moving in that direction. Atlanta did it with a lot of their stars. is let's re-sign these kids at a reasonable rate and a reasonable price before they hit the market. Very smart. I like the business of baseball. I think that for the player, if you give more than what you already given the team and you're not getting your proper value, like the Scottie Pippen type of deal, it's going to suck. For a team organizational-wise, because I think, okay, I mentioned Atlanta. Acuna, let's just use Acuna as an example. Acuna is getting, I don't know how much money Atlanta's paying him, but obviously his worth is a lot more. But I think the players are noticing the team could give me this amount of money and then they still have the cap space to get more guys to help me win championships. And
yeah,
so I can make the rest of the in endorsements. That's what Ohtani did, essentially.
Yeah. He basically did it for them. Yeah.
He told LA, hey, give me $2 million and I'll make the rest up in endorsements.
Yeah, I think that it'll suck if somebody winds up getting like the similar Scottie Pippen story. But yeah. I think if they really look at it, if the team is trending upward, then, you know, give it a shot. Like he did with the Braves, obviously, you know, they were already making moves. I look at the kid that signed that crazy deal that hasn't played yet with Milwaukee. The Brewers.
Yeah.
You know, the Brewers are always that team that you don't hear about for 150 games. And then in the last 12, you find out that they're fighting for the wild card or they're about to win their division or, you know, so it's like even that one was a good one.
Yeah.
I think him signing with Tampa was a really good move.
Amazing. For Tampa, small market team, don't spend a lot
exactly.
of money.
Exactly. Yeah. They got a crazy good deal. Mm-hmm. They were literally telling him, you know, hopefully we get more players that we can sign to stuff like this in your 11, 12 years, whatever. I think it was 11 years.
I think it was like 11 year, 12 year deal, whatever it was.
180 something.
Making him essentially the Tampa face. Bay.
Yeah, right. The first one.
Yeah.
Because everybody else has gone. Everybody else has came and went. How many players? Tampa has been the breeding ground for elite players.
For a while now.
Yeah. You know?
And give it to Tampa's scouting department. Unbelievable. They find these guys constantly.
One phone call away.
They tinker with pitching. They were the first ones to be like, hey, we're not going to have a fifth starter. We'll eat up the bullpen.
Yep.
Now, where it took a turn was, you know, he was having allegedly, and this trigger warning because this conversation is about to get a little bit more serious than what it is. So Franco was apparently having relationships with a 14-year-old girl in Dominican Republic. Now, Wander Franco is 22 years old currently as we speak right now. The girl is 14. The age difference, was that 6 plus 2, 8?
7 to 8? Yeah.
Other people viewing this could say, let's change the ages. What if the girl was 21 and he was 28, 38? It's much more acceptable at that point.
Yeah. But then you have the factor that the, you know,
She's
that's a woman.
It's an adult at that point.
She's an adult. Yeah. Her brain's developed and she can make conscious decisions for her own. And children are easily impressionable and manipulated. Yeah.
And it was in the reports and the documents, he kind of was alluding to her like, let me raise you or try to grow up. And
yeah, he was trying to like groom her.
Grooming was the word I was trying to remember. So, the Franco thing is awful, right? And then he allegedly made the testimony where, I don't know the whole quote, but I'm going to just read you what was reported, which I took the risk and I loved it. So, in those couple words, he's actually admitting to what he did. I think he pleaded not guilty or whatever, and they're still investigating the trial. Trial's still ongoing.
Yeah, because if I'm correct, the last that I had heard was that he was unaware of her actual age, apparently. I guess he thought she was like 17 or a little bit older, and that her mom knew who he was and allowed it to happen, until she started extorting him, I believe, for 100,000 pesos a month. This is the story that's
going on. That's not a lot of money. And if this is... So none of this is factual yet. We don't know. It's still being investigated.
Yeah,
this is a very touchy subject. We realize that. So that's not a lot of money. And I can see a scenario where that happens, specifically in my home country.
Yes. Right? Yeah, I've heard it in my family's back home in DR. Mm-hmm. Stuff like this is actually common. It's not,
and it's normalized. Not an
excuse or anything. We don't stand with that, but
that's
somehow
just
their culture.
Exactly. So that's where I wanted to get at. That's the first point I want to make. Second, our country is very, very poor. And there is a lot of crime, corruption, greed, and a lot of things like that happen. Is there a scenario where a woman could date a man and lie about her age? And so if Franco's story is true, which to me he's still liable and he's still in the wrong, but that doesn't sound too far-fetched for me. And nor do I agree that none of this stuff for me is normal.
Yeah.
First of all, I grew up in a household where, yes, I have family members that got married very young. And when I mean young, I mean younger than 18. And they got married in DR. And
yeah, different culture over there. But the whole point is,
yeah,
you're over here. You're not in DR.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing in Tampa. You're playing in Florida. It's America.
Public figure.
You're now the face of this franchise for the next decade. And, you know, there's different ways you have to move. And he knew he was in the wrong.
Just by his statement. Yeah,
you could tell by the way his reactions and his statements were. So he knew the whole time that he was in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's even if it's a culture thing, which I know, you know, we alluded to in DR, but it's still... It's still what happens now.
And I feel like as a society and a culture, right? Like I was born here, partially raised in DR, and then the rest of my life here. I think we need to progress more as a society in DR. Like these things shouldn't be the normal. Because it's not okay for you to be grooming little girls.
Yeah.
It's not okay for you to have a family and then go out and date other women and have multiple families. That's not okay. There's a lot of trauma you're causing when you do that, specifically the multiple family thing. So that's my opinion on the matter, like my personal opinion. I feel like we need to take more accountability as men and women from the Dominican Republic. Our country is viewed in a negative light a lot of the times. And I think this generation, like my generation, the one right behind me, we need to try to change the perception and the narrative of what the country is and maybe try to move it forward. Because there's several things that always get me upset. That and being too loosely with certain things. Dating younger women is very loose. Cheating on women with multiple women, it's an okay thing. Having multiple children with multiple women, it's an okay thing. The machismo of the country. We have good examples. I'm going to say we don't. But I think we need to be the generation that sets examples and because we are a beautiful country, we have beautiful culture, and not... I don't want the world to view what one individual does because this is what happens a lot and then just say, well, that's how all Dominicans are.
Because
that's not true.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's why, yes, it's an interesting story. It's going to play out for a while. The guys was released from jail. If the trial was here in this country, he would not be released from jail.
Yeah.
And our government is very loose, and they could be persuaded by money. So it's going to be an interesting story, and I am going to watch it. But in my personal opinion, I don't think he ever plays baseball in the U.S. again. unless he's found, like, innocent of all charges.
Nah, I think even if he is and it's by the Dominican court and stuff, I don't think the U.S. will care.
He's married.
I think there's zero chance that he plays next season. I
don't think he's going to play for Tampa ever again.
I personally don't think he's going to play. I don't know what's going to have to happen to have his contract voided so that Tampa gets out of that, but that will happen. They're will find something. I know everybody's out there like, oh, no, the baseball contracts are so guaranteed and this. They will find something that has never happened before.
The union's going to
fight
it.
Will happen. The union will fight it, but they're going to realize this is.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, okay, you know what? We get it. We're supposed to fight for these players, but this one, we got to let it slide because of what he's done.
Yeah. So hopefully DR does the right thing on this case, man, and they handle it the right way. The interesting part of the story was I thought that was like his girlfriend and that was his only person. The man is married. So when he left the courthouse, he got picked up by his wife.
Yes.
Who's like his high school sweetheart.
Well, it wasn't only, if I'm not mistaken, it's up to three girls now. It's two of them confirmed that came forward. Which
becomes predatory at that point.
It's two of them that came forward and then one more that that they're investigating. I guess that they saw messages from him. So it's looking worse and worse.
Well, DR, I hope you get it right, and let's do better as a society. That's why I wanted to talk about it, because I feel like, and even still to this day, like, people won't say it on camera. They won't say it. There's people that are influential people. I'm gonna say that they're just like, oh, it's another mine.
Yeah, and just, you know, brush it off to the side.
Oh, it's another mine. So Eso allá, las cosas son así allá, and it can't be. We can't. We got to hold ourselves to a different standard.
Yeah, we got to move better as a people.
Yeah. So, that's my take on that.
That's the heavy stuff of the pod.
Yeah, I don't have anything more to like. First of all, I want the whole story to play out. I've never been one to crucify someone too early, because look at the Trevor Bauer situation. Man got thrown out of baseball. And as it turns out, they just had, like, rough intercourse, him and the girl, and it was completely consensual, and she was trying to extort him. So,
and he lost, what, 2.5 years?
2.5 years, and he lost a ton of money. He's available. And he would look nice in a Mets jersey. I'll tell you that. I'll take that. It seems like we're bargain hunting right now, the New York Mets. And we signed Severino. I love Sevy. He's a great pitcher. 1-year deal. See what we get from him. We signed Bobby from Milwaukee, which he's not even going to play next season. This is for 2025. So I guess the Mets are bargain hunting now. And if I want to do bargain hunting, I would go with a pitcher that he might have something left in the tank. And I think Bauer, if somebody takes a gamble, yeah, the media is going to kill you, but it might be worth the risk. That's all I'm saying. Because I am not happy with what we've done this offseason. There's not one move or one trade or one signing that I feel like, oh, we did something, we're on the right path. We struck out with Yamamoto. We offered $325 million. Why can't we take that $325 million and, you know, I don't really want Blake Snell, but call Blake Snell. Call Jordan Montgomery. There's no urgency. The Yankees made a nice trade. I'm going to say it was a organizational shifting trade. Got a star that's 25 years old, and he's built perfect for that system. That he's built perfect for that ballpark. But since then, quiet on the home front. And the Mets, like,
yeah, but there's
we didn't get Yamamoto.
There's a difference because Well, I think it is because at least our names are still being tossed around actively with all these top free agents that are still available and some trade targets.
Yeah.
You don't hear about that from the Mets.
No, they're not even in the conversation. Like, we're not even talking to Blake Snell.
The top free agents, you hear Blake Snell, he wants to come to the Yankees. You hear Montgomery, you hear that he might actually be salty to sign an extension with the Yankees.
And that he wants to go to Texas.
Yes, he might want to stay there. You hear the trade talks with, I'm sorry, what's his name? From Miami. It starts with Al Lizardo.
Lizardo.
You hear trade talks with Lizardo that are heating up. Sometimes they get cold and they're heating back up. Yankees in on Hader, out on Hader. Marcus Stroman, we were out on him 12 hours later. Mutual interest.
Mutual interest from each other.
You know, so.
Not even Marcus Stroman, New York Mets.
So even the good, that's the only reason why I'm not quick to punish my Yankees yet. Like, yeah, we still need moves to happen.
But at least we're
still active, yeah. And those players have not left the market. If these players were leaving the market and we had nothing to show for it, then I would be pissed off too.
But I think he just signed with L.A.
Who?
Hernandez was a piece we could have got. The Mets.
Yeah, but I don't think that.
And he would have fit us.
My whole worry now is, and I think it's the same thing that happens with Teoscar, is Teoscar fits anywhere on any team. He's one of those players. But is it one of those things where people are testing free agency, and if the Dodgers come lurking, they just go there?
Yeah. That's my whole problem with what the Dodgers are doing.
Because deferring his payment is like, okay, you signed him for now what?
23-something.
For 66% of the deal, so you got like a 33% deal off?
They've spent $1.5 billion this offseason, the Dodgers.
Yeah. You think it winds up being for a win? For a chip this year?
They're going to get a title.
This year?
Not this year.
Okay.
I think they get one.
Teoscar's gone after this year.
I know, but I don't. It's just too strong of a pitching. Like, you got to think about it like this: next all season, they just got another big name pitcher back, which is Ohtani.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hope Buehler comes back strong. I think he is. I like Walker Buehler.
Yeah. Yamamoto.
Yamamoto.
They're not going to bring Kershaw back.
The only knock on Yamamoto is his height.
And he's never pitched in the bigs.
He's pitched against everybody in the WBC.
Yeah, but we got to see what it's like.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's going to be Ohtani level great.
You think he's better than Kodai Senga, the Mets Japanese pitcher?
Off of 1 year?
Yeah.
I think he has the same similar first year.
And Senga was...
He started off slow, started finding his rhythm, and put together a really decent season.
And he was almost Rookie of the Year. Or was he? He was Rookie of the Year.
I believe he was a finalist. I'm not sure if he
won. He was a finalist for the Cy Young. I think he was in the fifth or fourth for the Cy Young. Did he get the Rookie of the Year? No.
Corbin Carroll from the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, Carroll got it. But he was a finalist. I think he was like second in the rookie and then like fourth in the Cy Young.
Could be.
But all right, so the thing with me is, and now the Mets want to get Jorge Soler to be the DH. These are not the guys that we need.
They're not the difference makers. I think the Mets, my whole thing is now this is my test to see what that front office is going to do. Do you panic and overpay somebody now that's left just so that you can make a move? Or do you actually run out there with that same team and just hope that you put together a decent season, decent enough where you don't have to trade Alonso?
It's stupid because I think they need a starter, another starter, no matter how many starters they signed already.
I think there's a couple pieces.
They need a legit starter to put behind or in front of Senga. And I think I would like Montgomery. I think Montgomery, if we get Montgomery, I'll feel a lot better about the offseason.
Yeah, I love Monty. I think he's proven himself. I think he's going to be a really good pitcher, and I think you get him for a good price. And so let's see.
He's pitching in the NL again, like in San Diego, like in St. Louis, sorry. And I think that that only helps him. So I think Montgomery would be a good guy for us to get. I'm not happy with what the Mets did this offseason so far. And the offseason's not over, and a lot of these names are still out there.
That's fair. That's fair. And it's not one of those episodes where I'm just, you know, ragging on the Mets. That's fair. Like you said before, besides the Yankees getting Soto and making that, and the Verdugo trade was also a pretty decent move.
But that's
if we were to run our team out there right now,
you'll be all right with it.
I'll be okay with it, but
you're missing the starter that you need.
I'll be okay with it, but I need to know who's coming back to play. When I say that, I mean, is Rizzo coming back to play, or is Rizzo a little fucked up now?
DJ.
Is Volpe coming to improve
his
offense, or is he not? Is Stanton coming to hit? All I need from Stanton is 250, 30 home runs, 90 RBIs. He does that in his sleep when he plays like 115 games.
He slimmed down. We'll see what that happens.
I need you to stay healthy.
Yeah. Just,
you know, you're a non-factor when it comes to defense and anything else. We need your bat there or to at least be available.
Soto, him, Judge, that's nice.
You know, so.
And if LeMahieu hits, that's a nice.
So LeMahieu is another one. Am I going to get LeMahieu's now? He's not going to be bounced around. He has a home now at third. Mm. Is he going to go back to batting 320 or at least 300 and 290, 280?
And bringing back Labor.
You know, and then I don't think we're bringing back Labor. I think Labor plays this year, and then I think he's gone after this year. I don't think we're going to pay him. He's going to ask for, like, close to 200, maybe a little above.
You know, it's crazy. You guys would not sign Rendon. You would have Labor.
So that's my other thing. Are we going to get, if Rendon comes back to being the Rendon that he was the 2 years before he joined the Yankees.
But he was a bum besides those 2 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He was just
it was always potential, but he was on the White Sox. So it was always potential. Mm. It's almost like what you see with Snell. Snell's record and everything wasn't that impressive. He was in the Padres. They played like shit.
Yeah.
But you really take a deep dive into his numbers. You're like, wow, on a team that wasn't performing, he's really balling.
So
I think that's what it was with Rendon. He went to San Francisco. He got to show that his strikeout rate was up, his movement and everything was up. And he became a finalist 2 years back-to-back. I think he came in second both years for the Cy Young.
And then the market dictated he get overpaid. Because that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen, so I'm not mad at that. But can you come back and be a number two or number three starter and give me at least an ERA in the threes?
I think the Yankees' best bet is to find a solid two. If he's your third starter, it alleviates him of a little. That's why I think it's so crucial for them to get a pitcher.
I think that's my new theory is because we heard Yankees really want Monty. Yeah. Yankees are also interested in Hader. Yankees have come out and said they're not interested in Hader if they get Monty. It sounds like we're not going to get Monty. More and more, it sounds like Monty's going to wind up staying with the Rangers.
You think Hader and Stroman is what they get?
No, I think we actually wind up after Monty signs. I think we end up just going with Snell.
Really? I don't see Snell as a Yankee.
I don't want it, but I think there's mutual interest there. He, for some reason, wants to really play there. He's got two Cy Youngs on his mantle.
What do you prefer? Snell, nobody else, or Hader and Stroman?
With our team that we have now, honestly, I'll probably take Snell. Just because I see zero value in Stroman. I don't think he's good here. He's talked shit about the Yankee fans before. He's talked bad about the Yankee organization. There's nothing here for you. I get that there's mutual interest, but it might be just to sit down and see how interested you are to play. If you're going to come and play for us for half the price, okay.
I think that's what the Yankees are going to do with him. They're going to say, if he's gonna, how bad do you want to play here?
Yeah. Exactly. If that's the case, then okay, I'll take it. See what you got left, because then you know.
Or like, hey, you could earn your spot at spring training.
Nah, I don't think it'll be that bad. I think he still can just sign anywhere and earn a spot. But I do think he would have to, you know, if we give him a contract, he would have to do something. Maybe incentives or or something, because he's also always hurt.
Like a nice base, couple million, and then you meet these numbers, you get extra money.
Snell was great when he was with Tampa. He knows everybody in our
He knows the division. The AL East.
So it just makes more sense. I love Hader. I really do want Hader, even if it's for the same money that
you're gonna need a strong bullpen.
We have the number one bullpen in baseball.
This is why it makes sense for New York, for the Yankees, right? If they don't get Snell, it would make sense to go after Hader and then add an arm. You always need pitching, first of all. And if your pitching is not up to par, like the Mets, right? The Mets starting rotation, I think if this is seriously what they're going to run out there as their starting rotation, well, then maybe the Mets need to call for Hader as well. Because even though Hader's commanding Diaz money, you're going to need a really strong bullpen if your rotation is not up to par. And then if you have the Diaz-Hader combo, you could have either one close the game.
Neither one of those guys would accept that. We did that years ago. Nah, both of those guys want closer money.
Yeah.
And they want that label as the closer of the team.
So but I don't we think did the same thing that. With Jerry's Familia and Diaz. We used either
that's,
one.
That's a big difference. That's
I know it is a big caliber difference.
A player with Familia.
But if you're going to – all I'm saying is if you're going with a rotation of what you got right now, you're going to need a way better bullpen.
Nah, for that, I'd rather – if I was the Mets and I was a Mets fan, I'd rather them go and try to get that Imanaga pitcher guy if that's the case.
That's another thing, and I'm disappointed big, in that. And bull, also we have not ballpark. Called about – Shane Bieber.
Yankees are going to probably wind up with him.
That would be...
It's cheap.
That would be very interesting. And if I'm the Yankees, if I get Bieber, I wouldn't go after Snell.
No, I think we get Bieber, we're done. Maybe one more bullpen arm, but I think we're done.
Because they seriously just need one arm. Because you can't have Rendon and Nestor.
As two question marks. I know that people are talking a lot
can't
about...
Can't do that as 2-3. 3-4, that'll be good.
Warren is coming up. You know, we'll see what he's got. And then number four, we got Clark Schmidt. A lot of people like Schmidt. Schmidt's pretty good. Bottom of the rotation guy. It's okay.
You guys lost in the trade. No.
King.
I liked
Michael
him.
Michael King. Yeah, he was cool. I didn't see his ceiling being, you know... crazy
bottom
high.
Rotation guy, he's good.
That's what I'm saying. So I wasn't
eating
mad
up
at
innings.
I wasn't mad at losing that. I feel like we have even young guys in AAA that we could bring up to test out bottom of the rotation if we wanted.
So that's where I'm at with. You know, it's been a lot of. Maybe it's just because we're from New York and we used to being the ones making the splashes. Like Yankees made a huge splash. Soto trade. Not saying they didn't. I'm just saying it's been a very weird offseason.
Yeah, it's because baseball's offseason. I know all the offseasons are long, but baseball just feels so dragged out because there's so many stages before people could be free agent.
Because somebody's got to set the market.
You can talk to them. And then everybody's waiting on each other. Like, I feel like right now, Snell, I think, is obviously, I think he's waiting to talk to the Yankees before he talks to anybody else. I feel like he's been talking to everybody else. Monty, I don't know. I think he might be waiting for Snell to sign.
He's waiting. He definitely does not sign before Blake. It would be stupid of him to sign before Blake Snell. He's definitely waiting for Blake Snell. And I think Blake Snell, that third component, like the Mets are not in it.
I think Blake Snell hasn't signed because the teams that he wants to sign with that he's interested in haven't gave him an offer.
He doesn't have the Ohtani or Yamamoto effect where he has the three biggest markets, the three biggest pockets.
Which is crazy. Two Cy Youngs, you would think he would be. But because of his height.
I don't think the Mets value him at that.
Well, not just the Mets. It's everybody else in baseball. There's at least 25 teams that probably don't value him at that.
Yeah, but you know, the pockets is Mets. Right now, the pockets, Mets, Yanks, Dodgers, right? Yamamoto got the money he got. Because it was those three big pockets. Ohtani is Ohtani. That dude is the best baseball player we're going to see in our generation.
Yeah.
But Snell doesn't have that competing opponent. Like, if Snell goes to the Yankees, like, to negotiate, that's going to be the price. Because there's no other team that's going to up this. There's no Mets. Like, there's no Dodgers on the other side for him. So.
To drive the price up?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he doesn't have that component. So, I think Snell signs in February, as a matter of fact. Because he waits out. Then a small market team will make an offer. He'll use that. He'll go to the Yankees. Then the Yankees will. That's where the Yankees are going to put their offer in.
Okay, I can see that. It's kind of like the Yamamoto, you know, the Mets offer this. Yankees offer the most per year, then but the least to total.
LA.
And then he goes to LA, like, yo, this is what they're offering me.
And this is what. But he wanted to be in LA, period.
I'm not sold on that.
I think he wanted to be in LA, period. I think he got what he wanted.
He's everything like, that he was saying or that they were saying about him, it could just be wrong. You know, but everything that they were saying about him was, he didn't want to share the spotlight. He wanted a chance at doing this and he wanted to do this.
He wanted to be in a big city, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, that stays true for LA, but. He you know, did just get in terms play, of they even, I think there was even a rumor that was going around that said he didn't want to even be on the team with another big Japanese star.
No, what I was hearing was that he wanted to play with another Japanese player, which he ended up doing because he's with Ohtani, and he's in a big market.
And all only happens because Ohtani makes that deal.
He shifted the market, man. But like we predicted here. Soto will go down first, then Ohtani. And that's exactly how it happened. The rest hasn't played out exactly because certain teams aren't interested in certain pieces.
Well, a lot of the pieces haven't even fell since then.
And look at Bellinger. He's still
that's
available,
what I'm saying.
Too.
Yamamoto is the only big one that's fell since then, right?
Yeah.
Nobody else big has really signed.
No, I mean, unless you count IKF going to Toronto.
I mean, people are hype about Chris Sale going to the Braves, but I don't think that's going to be his resurrection thing. I think his career is done.
I think he gives him some innings. He doesn't do much. You know, IKF going to Toronto, though, that's big news right there. That's, you know, that's franchise.
IKF loved you, buddy. Yeah, whatever.
Imagine being a Blue Jays fan. You're like,
that's your beer. You missed out on everybody
you,
and wind up.
You thought Ohtani was coming.
What isn't that what happened with the Yankees? When we signed IKF, I forgot who was a free agent that year, but that's who we were going for.
Harper.
Yeah. It was Harper, Machado. Yeah. Wasn't it that year?
Yeah. And you're thinking, yo.
Gotta get one.
Manny. We get one of the two, and then you end up with IKF.
Yeah.
And not only IKF, but Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, we also gave away Didi that year.
Didi, Gary, a bunch of players.
Yeah, crazy time.
All right, so I want to play, talking about baseball. Baseball is always known for some interesting names. And I saw something on the internet the other day. So there's this player. When I was a kid, my cousin, we all play fantasy baseball, basketball, football. My cousin named this team Rusty Cunts, right?
Jeez.
Rusty, just how, yeah. R-U-S-T-Y, right? Cunts, though, was K-U-N-T-Z, so Rusty Cunts. Mm-hmm. That's legit baseball player, that's his name, right? So I want to play this game. I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if it's a real player or not.
Okay.
All right. Some of these shits is crazy. Okay. Let's go with Oil Can Boyd.
Oil Can, that's real. Shout out Oil Can.
Oil Can Boyd.
Yeah, that's a real name.
All right. Cock.
What?
Cock Schmitz.
What? Cock Schmitz?
Cock Schmitz.
Cock Schmitz. That's not real.
You sure? Cock
yeah.
Schmitz.
Yeah, I'm sure. Positive.
Correct.
Okay.
Razor Shines.
Razor Shines. Damn, what year would that have been? The 50s, 60s?
Or can't play for, by the way, real quick. He played for Boston. He played from 1982 to 1991. Boston, Montreal, and Texas.
Razor Shines, I'm going to say, is a real player.
Real player. Correct. Played for Montreal, Expos.
Oh, what's that, 3 for 3?
That's 3 for 3 so far. Happy Gilmore.
Adam Sandler. Fake.
It's fake? All yeah. Right. Balls McGee.
Damn. It sounds fake, but I want to say that that's a real player. Balls McGee. All right, I'm going to say fake.
You got it.
Okay. I was like, yeah, it sounds like it might be like a hockey player.
Johnny Dickshots.
There's no way. Johnny Dickshots. That could be a nickname for Draymond Green. Johnny Dickshots.
Johnny Dickshots.
I'm gonna say that's a real one.
Johnny Dickshots played from 1936 to 1939 for Pittsburgh, let's New go. York Giants, and the Chicago White Sox.
I'm killing this right now.
Johnny Dickshots. Oh, my God. He also played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Let's do two more.
Going for 100%.
Speaking
of 100%, real quick, Nikolai Jokic in this span has missed 5 shots in the last 4 games. Think about that. Continue. And people say he's not deserving of MVP. Continue.
Wow. He's only the best player in the league right now, but whatever.
Hands down.
Anis Anderson.
Was it Anis?
It's pronounced Anis. Anis Anderson.
Okay, I'm going to say real. Anis Kanter. Yeah, real.
Nah.
Nah?
Damn. Last one. Pete Lecocq.
Pete Lecocq. That's real.
Pete Lecocq. That's correct. Pete Lecocq played from 1972 to 1980. He played for the Cubs and the Kansas City Royals.
Damn, I got, what's that, 9 out of 10?
Nine out of 10.
Pretty good.
Rusty Cunts is a legit name, so if y'all want to fact check me on it, your boy Rusty Cunts was out there swinging. Oh, there's also Dick Pohl. Did I say Dick Pohl?
No.
Dick Pohl's another one he played for, the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, Richard Pohl.
That's a wild name. Your boy's name was Dick Pohl.
It's all right. We'll give him a pass.
Dick Pohl. Oil can boy. That's just...
Oil can boy.
That's a violation. Your nickname is Oil Can.
Yeah, you should have found out why he got that, how he got that.
Don't forget Sleeve McDaniel and Todd Gonzalez. Jack Glasscock. These are people that are, Coco Crisp, all-time favorite. One of my all-time favorite names.
Yeah.
And Milton Bradley.
Milton Bradley, yeah.
So there's also Dick Lovelady. Okay. Langsteins Millage. The standout minor league player for the New York Mets.
Langston?
Langsteins Millage. Dude was supposed to be like this 5-tool player for the Mets. This wasn't even that long ago. This was early 2000s. Somebody else said Danny Mendick. That's your boy's name. Vinegar Ben Menzel.
That's a good one. Vinegar Ben?
Vinegar Ben Menzel. Rusty Cunts is named a couple times here. Boofer Bonson. Wow. Your boy's name is Boofer.
Bobby Boucher. That's the greatest name in sports history.
Doc Mendick. Oh, my God. There's a lot of dick names in baseball.
Sports, period. All right, you ready? I got, before we close out, I got one thing left that I want to talk about.
And Steve Schartz, bro, your boy's last name was Schartz. Steve Schartz. Shout out to all them baseball names. It's just fire. They just make me laugh. Oh, in the subject of names, did you see that linebacker kid that his name is Noah Kniger?
No.
So there is a prospect. I think he's going to college. Football player, linebacker. His name is Noah, N-O-A-H. His last name is K-N-I-G-G-A. Very interesting. I would love for that young man to make the NFL. I want to see the announcer say his name. And there's also the coldest. He's also a top prospect. His name is the coldest something.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about, yeah. I forgot what it was, like the coldest Jones or something like that.
Some shit.
Yeah, but it was really spelled the coldest. D-A coldest.
The coldest.
All right, while we're on football,
go ahead.
Before we wrap up, I'm going to give you the six games. I know that this episode might come out after. But it will still have our predictions on
I want
record.
My picks in there, because if I'm right, I want people to be like, all right.
NFL playoffs begin this week. I'm going to give you the six games that are happening this week and next week. You tell me your picks. Ready?
Go ahead.
Houston, Cleveland.
Houston wins. Cleveland wins that game.
So you got Cleveland moving on. They'll wind up versus the number one seed, Baltimore. Kansas City, Miami. First round matchup. That's a good one.
It's probably the game that everybody's going to watch.
I'm also taking Cleveland in that last one.
I'm going to take Kansas City because of the history. This kid, Kelsey, hasn't played like he normally plays, so... there's a lot of pressure for him to show out on this game. We'll see.
Okay, I'm going to take Miami. I think Miami's just got too much firepower for that team. And if Mahomes is not going to be 100%, which he's not.
But this kid's been dropping. Tyreek Hill's been dropping a lot of passes.
Yeah, but I never go by that. Like, I think, yeah, you might have a couple bad games and stuff.
We'll see. It'll be exciting if Miami wins that game, though.
Yeah, for sure. Then to wrap it up on that side, we got Buffalo, Pittsburgh.
Buffalo. Bills got like a chip on their shoulder right now. And they last six games they've been playing like
that. Yeah, I agree. All right, so we move over to the NFC. We got Tampa, Philadelphia.
I know Hurts' finger got dislocated during the game and they lost AJ Brown. I just think Philly won't be one and done in the playoffs. I think they win that game. Who they playing again? Who'd you just say?
Tampa.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, Tampa.
Philly's way more Tampa, talented I think was than Tampa.
One game over 500. And you know, they squeezed in by winning their division.
Yeah,
division.
That division is trash. So Philly wins that game.
Yeah, I think whoever wins, good luck. They move on to San Francisco. The next game is Detroit and the Rams.
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit's been a surprise, right? Just among...
Nah, I was excited
last year. I know they've been trending up, especially since last year there was a surprise team, but I didn't expect them to be a full force already.
They are better than what I thought they would be, but I knew they'd be in it. Like, I like the coach, I like the identity, I like the way the team's playing, I like the way they're trending. They could sneak up on people. I'm picking Detroit in that one.
Yeah, I like them too. And the final game is Dallas, Green Bay. I think that's going to be actually the real
that's the
game
toss-up
to watch.
Game.
Yeah.
Besides the Miami, Kansas City, because
it should be the Cowboys, but at the end of the day, the Cowboys are the Cowboys.
And I think it's a trap game because people are automatically going to assume Dallas. I'm going with Green Bay on this one. They're going to automatically assume that Dallas is going to win, and Dallas does have the talent over Green Bay, but Dallas has done something consistently this year. Games that they had to win against better teams, they've lost, and they fumbled. They're like, Dak. I don't trust Dak in that situation.
Yeah. And when I want to see what would happen if Jordan Love is the one that beats your team. You know, what does that say about your team that you've assembled if this guy first year taking over decides I'm just going to already eliminate you guys?
Green Bay did a good job. Like, they – Bret Hart, wow.
Wow.
Bret Hart came out. Bret Favre going from Favre to Rodgers to Love.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You need them.
I wanted Love. When Love was in the draft, I was really, really rooting for him to drop to, I think it was like the 28th pick, which is the Patriots. Yeah. I was really hoping for that.
And really quickly, I think people are like, oh, Belichick's going to be upset if it's his last game that he lost to the Jets. He kind of screwed the Jets on his way out because the Jets were going to get the 6th pick and they tumbled down to 10.
Oof. So tank it.
But go ahead. And I could give you my Super Bowl prediction, which I've had since the beginning
of
the year.
That was the last one. So who you got? Cowboys? You got Packers?
I got Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cowboys. Something is telling me that you're 100% right with your take, but I'm just going to stick with the Cowboys for the first round. Uh-huh. After that, whoever they verse, I'm picking against.
They just get – I don't know. I've always like
– Zero faith in them, bro. Zero faith.
I was like, it's the Cowboys. That's why Stephen A. – maybe this could be the year where they shut Stephen A. up, but – and I honestly believe this is going to be Baltimore or San Francisco.
Oh, nah. I don't think Baltimore – Baltimore's such a great team. They flew under the radar and they were just doing their thing. Lamar, to me, until he shuts me up, he's not a playoff quarterback.
My pick is Baltimore or San Fran.
San Fran, I'm with you.
That's all I'm saying, Baltimore or San Fran. That's our episode for today. We'll see you guys next week. Remember to like, subscribe, share, all that beautiful stuff. And if you want to comment, slide in the DMs. Let us know your opinions, your thoughts. If you want to talk about the Wanda Franco thing, we will address it on the following episode. Thank you for tuning in. See you guys next week.